Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. I was talking to Miss Amy, and chapter 12 was just a, how should I put it, tough. It was just rough for me to do. You say, for any particular reason, it just wasn't coming to me. And chapter 10 was the same way. Sometimes when you open up the Word of God, you pray that, you know, during the day, and before you start, please help me, God. And God says, okay, try it anyway. And sometimes you just don't get it. And you're looking at it, and it's like, well, it's not that hard. And it doesn't come. Chapter 13 has started out a lot easier for me. I don't want it easy for me, but I don't want it where you look at it and you're going, huh, that's nice. Yeah, and you read, and you're like, man, that doesn't make any sense to me. Chapter 13, verse 1, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall not eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. We ended up on the first part of chapter 13, verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. You know, it's always good when you listen to somebody that's older than you, that's been through the fire, has been through the trials. The younger you are, especially when you're a teenage boy, you get to that age 16, you start thinking you know everything. By the age 18, you know everything. And by the age of 21, it's amazing how much your parents had learned in the last 3 years. Okay? And I thought, you know, I've heard that when I was growing up, and it's like, oh, go away. I didn't think I knew more than my dad, but it's like, okay, and it's like, then when I had to start paying the mortgage when I was 20 years old, I'm going, how in the world do you pay your mortgage, Dad, and tithe like you do, and feed us? And you have three boys, teenage years, and it's like, how in the world did you do this? And it's like, if we just listen to what God has for us, not only in the Word of God, because He's our Father, but also our parents that raised us, we'll be a lot better off. And, you know, I sometimes say some things, and you know, hear this every once in a while. People that you hear that you sound just like your mother, sound just like your dad. You know, I'm starting to hear phrases come out of my mouth that they used to say. And it's like, no, and it's like, ah, I actually listened. Second part, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Scorner is someone who mocks at God, mocks at His rules, mocks at what God says about what's going to come for judgment. He pretty much tells God that you really don't exist and it really doesn't matter. And it's an amazing thing. When Brother Rudy Hemmer, close enough, God. Hamburger, yeah. When he's here, he's talking about the German people, when they do their education, educate that there is no God, and have educated themselves out of God. And I heard that, it's like, well, that explains a lot of the German attitude. And when you look at throughout the ages, especially in the 1900s, what they did, and today, Rudy says there's real issues because they don't want to hear about God. I look at that in the United States, you know what? People don't want to hear about God. And it's always good when people are able to witness and people actually listen. And 13, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. The word scorner itself is used 11 times in the Bible in that form, 10 times in the book of Proverbs. Now, as remember, Solomon was writing this to his son Rehoboam, and we know that Rehoboam really messed up because he didn't listen to his father. There's other people in the Old Testament that were like this. The sons of Eli didn't listen to their dad. They really didn't. They just totally blew it. You look at when Samuel was dying, Samuel had an issue with them wanting a king, but they told Samuel, it was like, you know, your sons aren't like you. And there was real issues. And the first one I think of was Cain. Cain knew what he was supposed to do. Cain knew that God wanted to be a lamb. Cain knew what was supposed to go on. And what Cain do? Hey, look at this. Nice bananas. Nice coconuts.
Some grapes here.
I'll give that to God. Is that what God wanted? No? You know, I believe God would have accepted it on top of what he is supposed to give. Everybody understand where I'm coming from? If you want to put that on top, that's fine, but God says, you got to give what you're supposed to give first. And it is an amazing thing. We don't like to hear rebuke. We don't want to hear things that are supposed to go on. Proverbs chapter 19. I never liked being told by any of my bosses that what I was doing was wrong. And that's just... I was going to say, verse 29. Judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. Proverbs, Psalm chapter 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So, you know, when you look at Proverbs 19:29, it tells us that, you know, what happens to these people is because they won't listen. Why did Pharaoh end up like he did when Moses was dealing with him? There you go. He wouldn't listen to God. And, you know, before Moses got there, Pharaoh had a hard heart against the people of Israel. He told the midwives to kill all the Jewish boys. They come out, it's a boy, you drown them. And the midwife says, well, why don't you, Pharaoh's asking himself, why aren't you doing it? Well, you know, these women are not like the Egyptians. They're lively and there's nothing we can do. It's already done before we get there. And you look at that, and Pharaoh just was not happy with them. And Pharaoh hardened his heart, then God hardened his heart, then Pharaoh hardened his heart. He ended up that Pharaoh ended up taking a little bath that he really didn't like. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 10. Cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Somebody who rejects God and somebody who does not do what God wants, if that's in any type of business, any type of thing that he thinks he can do whatever he wants, there's going to be trouble. Okay, I joke around that I don't, pretty much, when I say I don't like being told what I was doing was wrong when I was working, I always try to abide by the rules for one simple reason. That way I didn't have to talk to my bosses. Okay? I come in, do my job, I go home, happy camper. But every once in a while they say, well, you're not doing this right. It's like, oh no, we change it. It's a different style now. Why didn't you tell me that you wanted, you know, this to be done this way instead of coming in and saying I'm doing it wrong? And it's like, and everybody, a lot of people just don't like having the issue of hearing, you know, we want to do it this way. No, you should do it that way. As Mike Nimmo said, you know, Baptists have a bad reputation of, you know, browbeating people about sin, this, that, and the other thing. And, as I said last week, one guy down at Rideau Cab, Wade, he says he doesn't like Baptists. But I like you. I'm going. And I said, you do know I'm a Baptist, right? And he said, what, you're different. And I'm going, boy, you're a sucker. I said, really, you think I'm different about sin? He says, well, you don't go around telling people that what they're doing is wrong. It's not my place at Rideau Cab once again. Right. It's not my place. Now, as they come in, as they ask me some things, I'll tell them from the Bible, okay, let's go over this first. Let's go over first with what you need to hear, then we'll go over the issue you have to deal with. The first thing they need to know is that God loves them. That there is something different about our God than everybody else's. He's not out there sitting here going, well, if you don't do this, I'm gonna give you something you don't like. Proverbs 13:2. People don't like, a scorner does not like to hear that there is a God. You know, a lot of people like Madam Murray O'Hare and Bill Maher and, I'm trying to think of the guy in the wheelchair. I never can remember. What? No, the guy in the wheelchair. I wish he was in a wheelchair. Obama too, but, and scientists that's in a wheelchair. They always, Hawkins, yeah, that's it. I never can remember his name. And when I hear it, it's like, yeah, how could I forget that name? They all try to say there's no God. Why? You know, Bill Maher was the son of a preacher? Yes, Hawkins, guess what? Son of a preacher. So it makes you wonder what happened during their childhood or what happened somewhere down the line. they heard about God. They know what God is all about, but for some reason they decided to reject him and they don't want to hear it. Verse 2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. But the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. You notice there's two different contrasting things. Is somebody with a good attitude and that they, when they speak, that somebody can tell there's a difference between them and everybody else. That's what God's talking about, the fruit of the mouth. As Pastor Stewart said many times, and I mentioned the conversation of your life. It's your attitude, how you do things, how you end up with things. And I said this before, but when everybody says, how's your day? I said, I love my job. Most of the time I love my job. Sometimes it gets frustrating because you get Mr. Stinky in there. What do you mean, Mr. Stinky? You smell him three rides later. Or you gotta go to the wash man, which is a car wash over there, and you gotta get it detailed. And get the smell out. That to me is when I start not to love the job, because not only do I have to spend money, but you also have to end up missing out on what could be going on. But eat the good by the fruit of his mouth. Nothing like a good witness. I was talking to Mike Perry, and we have the men's prayer meeting at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. He's talking, and he said, well, he was at work one time, and everybody was complaining, whining, do this and that. And it's like, well, I didn't know it was there. He goes, well, let's do it all to the glory of God. Like, Mike, you're hurting me. You know, it's like, man, when it gets frustrating, I need to remember to do all to the glory of God. Mike, why? And it's like, ouch. But you know, there's a short witness. He didn't sit on the soapbox and sit there for 10 minutes berating the guys. He just mentioned that. And because of that, a lot of the guys pretty much hushed up. And another fruit of his mouth, Silas. You know, talking to Cole. And I'm sure he's talking to the other people on the baseball team, but he talked to Cole, got Cole to come to basic to begin with. And I'm sure being over at your house every once in a while, that was part of it too. But then Cole started coming to Sunday school and the church on Sunday mornings. And then a couple of weeks ago, he got saved. Okay. But because of Silas actually speaking up and having a decent witness, I'm sure Silas wasn't browbeating him about sin and anything else. I can see Silas speaking a lot, but nothing like that. You know, I look at Silas, I want, hey, he's just like Mike. I look at Tabor, and he's like his mother. And it's like, did I say that out loud? Oh, okay. I thought it was my inside voice. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, young or old. It comes to this thing. It doesn't matter if you're a good speaker. It doesn't matter if you can debate somebody. It doesn't matter. You know what? It comes from the heart. If you can show somebody that you actually care about them and you can make a difference in their lives and you have something to show for them. A few years ago, been a couple, more than a few, you know what? How many years ago? Treasure Valley Baptist Church put up banners and it said hope. Oh, okay. What's this hope? You know, I know what hope is. But when you go into a building and you just see banners, hope, and you're wondering what in the world, and it's like, then I started reading, it's like, oh, okay, God, there's hope in you. There's hope. There's something different. What Pastor DeMichael and Brother Rick Sell of Ohio, Pastor Rick Sell, they got together and they did pastor schools and some other things, and one of the things they came up with was hope, giving the people hope. And from there, the people from, they go out and give the other people in the communities, even Ohio or Treasure Valley or wherever they might end up, that they can show people hope. The goodness of their mouth to show hope. As I said before, I'm Mr. Happy at Radio Cab. That is the most ironic thing I've ever seen in my life. Okay? And, you know, if you have a good testimony of where you work, is there something different about you? Even though you don't go around preaching like some people do. When I went to Bible school, we were not allowed to witness on the job. We were not allowed. Okay? In Pensacola, you were not allowed to witness on the job unless it was before breaks, lunch, or afterwards. You say, why is that? Because if you did, they had the pastor's phone number on speed dial. This person is yakking and not working. And boy, you didn't get to have the conversation in his office. The next time he seen you, he did it from the pulpit. In front of 500 other people, give or take. Okay, you know how much this happened on the job? Okay. He warned you, don't do it. Why? Because when you're down there, your witness is to do what you're supposed to do, have a different attitude, and show somebody the love of God. And that was the whole thing, is when we open up our mouth, we need to be different. No, there's a lot of people, there's no different. Wade, as I said before, he says he's saved. I hope he is. I talked to him a little bit. He's hung up with baptism because he goes to a Pentecostal church. And it's like, well, I'm saved now because I was baptized. I got, oh, shut up, Raymond. Shut up. Don't go there. And it's like, I gotta leave this one alone. Don't open your mouth. You know, the more you speak, the more you'll gain. You know why some people see a lot of people saved? Because they actually say something to somebody about God, about Jesus Christ. The more you plant out there, the more you get back in. That's farming 101. If you're not planting the seed, if you're not plowing that ground, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you're not going to get any results. It's by the fruit, the working of your mouth. Okay, if you're not sitting out there doing this stuff, it won't come back to you. No, I'm not talking about karma. I'm talking about sowing and reaping. Biblical principle of sowing and reaping. You know what happened? We let some phony baloney false religion take a biblical principle and warp it to their principles. Somebody asked me, do you believe in karma? No. I said, I don't believe in karma. I believe in sowing and reaping. Guess how much the conversation lasted after that statement. Okay? Didn't last very long. I wasn't trying to be mean. But as I said before, sometimes when I open my mouth, it just comes out kind of mean. Second part, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. You know, somebody that's always in sin and driving for a cab coming, I see it a lot. Okay. You see the people that are in sin and you just see them ending up in bad situations. Now, let me preface this. I'm not saying the ladies that I take into the shelters are in sin. I'm saying they got themselves in a bad situation. Let me preface it that way. Okay. So what's a bad situation? I have no idea what they got themselves into, but I know a lot of it has to do with drug and alcohol. Okay. And I'm not saying on their part, I'm saying on their spouses or whatever else they're with. And they end up being beaten and in bad situations. I'm having to take these ladies to the shelters around Portland. And I get a phone call one time from dispatch and say, where did you take her? I said, who wants to know? Cause they had no idea where I took her. And I said, who wants to know? Well, her husband's calling. I said, that's nice. He ain't going to get nothing out of me. He said, what do you mean? I said, I know where I took her. And no, you can't know. He said, why? It was a shelter, and that's all you need to know. And he said, well, he's worried about her. I said, you know what? I had the police call me, and I'll tell the police the same thing. Click. Okay. They didn't call back. They understood that, no, it's not going to happen. You say, why? I'm smart enough to know that whatever is happening in that situation, it led to violence. It's never a good thing. Guys that drink a lot end up fighting all the time. Okay? They just, one of those, I see it, and it's like, and some of these people that are down on Burnside, West Burnside in Portland, and 4th and 5th and 6th in Portland, doing this stuff, you just see them fighting all the time. You see somebody running, and you see two people chasing them, and you know what's happening. And you're wondering, how in the world did this happen? Because they're in that thing of, but the soul of the transgressor, sin just envelops them and it gets worse and worse. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That's contrast, just like in verse 2 of Proverbs chapter 13. It tells you, we have the power of either sending somebody where they don't want to go or getting somebody to heaven. It's up to us. Okay, well, God saves them. I understand that, but God has to use us to get them there. And we're not being willing vessels for him. There's going to be issues. Verse 3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sometimes I wish I could, and sometimes I'll be the first one to admit my mouth just goes off. Okay. You wonder what this is about, just turn to James. We're not going to turn there. Read it on your own time. Turn to the book of James. See what it says about the tongue. If a man can bridle his mouth, he does a good job. I can't bridle my mouth. You know, I'm driving down the road and some nice person pulls in front of me and stops. Okay? What are you thinking? Okay, that's not bridling my tongue. That's not doing what I should be doing. I understand what I'm doing is not right. I'm trying to get better. I'm about 10% better than I was a few years ago. Okay, that is a good amount? No. Okay, I told Pastor Stewart before we started, I'm cursed. Both sides of my family do the same thing when they drive. It's like, are you kidding me? And it's like, oh, I'm from this part of this family, and this is like, it's on both sides? Not a good thing. This takes patience and long suffering, which is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And it takes it where we need to know how to keep our mouths and know when to and when not to. Turn to Proverbs chapter 26. I've heard some people say that this is a contradiction in the Bible. Really? Proverbs chapter 26. Where am I? Oh. Dyslexia hits me again. Verse 4. I think in verse 24, but verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be also like unto him. Okay, so we're not supposed to answer a fool. Why? Because he'll think he got over on you, but let's look at verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Well, there's a contradiction. No, it's not. You need to know when to put somebody in their place. And when to just let them speak. Sometimes when somebody speaks and they're saying something that you don't like, sometimes they're just trying to unload because they have had a bad day. I pulled up to many address and I get chewed out. And I'm going, I was here in less than 5 minutes. Okay. And the other day, I get an order. I'm not that far away. And I get there. It took about 6-7 minutes. And I get this message before I got there. Call the customer when you get there. I'm going, okay. Didn't tell me on the order. Send me a message when I got it that we were dumb and the first driver went away. Okay, it was going to the airport. And she almost missed her flight. It wasn't for me knowing the back roads and knowing how to adjust the speedometer. Okay. Okay, I sped a little bit. Okay, extreme amount. Yes. I'm bad. I sinned. The whole trip was just not good. And she just vented. I let it go. I didn't say anything because I knew what she was doing. We made her trip for business so bad that she was going to miss her flight and end up, you know, having issues. I've done it before when I was on nights picking somebody up and somebody didn't do their job and they're late for work and they're going to get fired. And I just get, what do? You let them go. But then there's people that think they know something, like Bill Maher and some of these other ding-dongs, that you got to put them in their place. You say you don't like Bill Maher? Not very much, no. Some of the things he said are just way out of there. He that keepeth his mouth, it takes patience, long-suffering. When to and when not to. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. This is easy for me because my mouth overloads any common sense I ever had. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. slow to wrath. Okay. But he that is of a hasty spirit exalteth folly. He's a hasty spirit. You think you're, yeah, you know why this is easy for me? Personal examples. I was telling somebody that, and you know how we got on it. I said, yeah, just sometimes you just have to add water and I turn to a different person. And, you know, you shake me a little bit, rattle me a little bit, and, you know, I'm getting better. My heart's trying to be better. Verse 3 of Proverbs chapter 13, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Now, it used to be a saying in the Navy, I'm sure it's still there, loose lips sink ship. Loose lips sink ships. I say that once, I can't say it fast, I have to really do. And that's true. And that what they're saying is, you know, you let things out you're not supposed to. Doesn't matter if it's a ship, a car, a job, a friendship. If you let things out, you're going to have issues. And the issues is not going to be good because it just leads to destruction. Samuel Clemens said, it is better to be thought of a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Okay? And you say, why didn't you speak too much when you're not out of here? Right there. Okay, that's a biblical principle. In the book of Proverbs, you know, book of James, if you bridle your mouth, you do it. You know, how do I bridle my mouth? I keep my mouth shut. You get me talking, there could be issues. Okay? Why? Because sometimes you just don't realize what you're saying, and you end up not being good. Turn to John chapter 1. This is the opposite of what this is talking about, but John chapter 1. When I was thinking about this, it's like, well, I wanted to go with a little bit more of a positive slant on this. John chapter 1, verse 47. Verse 47. And this is, and when Nathanael comes to Jesus, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith to him, behold, an Israelite, indeed in whom is no guile. Wow. Never spoke bad of any person. Never said anything bad about, never had a bad thought about any person. Anybody want to raise their hand on that one here? Never thought bad of a boss, never thought bad of a co-worker, never thought bad of anything. There was a great general during the Civil War. His name was Robert E. Lee. He fought for the correct side. I was born in the South, so yeah, got that one. Yeah, we lost bad. But Robert E. Lee was probably the best general ever in the United States. Okay, probably the best general. He never got a demerit when he went through West Point. Zero demerits. This was in the 1800s where a demerit was easy to get. Okay, up through 1990, there was no other cadet that ever went through West Point that didn't get at least one demerit. He got zero. When everybody else was out drinking and doing the things they weren't supposed to do on their time off, Robert E. Lee was shining his boots, shining his belt buckle, studying, and reading his Bible and praying. That's what he did on his time off. Say, why didn't he get a demerit? Because he was doing what he was supposed to do. When it was time to get up, he was up. When it's time to go to bed, he went to bed. When it's time to take a test, he took a test. I didn't say he was perfect in his test, he just never got it. He was said, he was credited throughout history, even through the history books, that he never spoke ill of any Union soldier or Union general. Can you imagine fighting against somebody and never speaking bad about them ever? Think about what he could have said about Sherman. Sherman was not a good person. When Sherman marched through the South, his men did some things that were just not right. General Lee never said a thing. Ulysses S. Grant was known to partake in some toxic fluids. Okay, he was a drunk. He was a well-known drunk before he became the leader during the Civil War. He never mentioned it. Never berated him for it. Let it alone. You know how hard that is for somebody to do? We have a president now that can't go 2 seconds without saying something bad about somebody. I'd rather have him than the other thing that was running, but it's like, sometimes I wonder, it's like, man, can you please not shoot yourself in the foot today, please? And some of the things he tweets is like, why, just leave it alone, let it go. Don't say anything bad. Don't open wide your mouth. Just let it go. Turn to James chapter 1 verse 26. James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious and beareth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religious is vain. James 1:26. And bridleth not his tongue. We need to learn to bridle our tongue. James chapter 3, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. No, you look at the size of a tongue. How big is it compared to the rest of your body? It's little. Not that big of a percentage. But boy, how many people have ever been offended by what a friend said to them? Or a family member, brother or sister. I know David and Rachel, I can tell by Rachel's smile, never. That's never happened either way. No, not at all. Me and my brother Tom never get any discussions that are heated nowadays. I'm not even talking about our childhood, I'm talking about nowadays, you know. And we get up the next day and we don't remember what we said. Well, it's brothers. You know, when you live with somebody for 48 years, you don't have issues. You're going to have issues if you don't praise God. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a road of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Where does that venom come from? Well, this tells you it comes from the devil. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed or of mankind. Verse 8 sums up this whole thing. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So how do I control my tongue? Well, it didn't say God can't control it. Pray about it. Ask God to help you. If you have any issues with it, ask somebody in the church to pray for you or with you. And let things come across that way. It's just so important that we bridle our tongue. And turn to Proverbs chapter 18. I think about Proverbs 18 verse 21, and it's true. And I'm not perfect down at Radio Cab. I blew it a couple months ago, and now the guy is no longer at Radio Cab for a while because he broke his hip, and I can't apologize. I hadn't seen him. I think he was staying away from me because he called me a thief. Two things I don't like being called is a liar and a thief. Say, why? If you're a liar, nobody can trust you. If you're a thief, nobody can trust you. Okay? I want everybody down at Radio Cab to know that they can trust me. And that if they ask me a question, I'm going to be honest with them as much as I can. So what do you mean by that? I will not answer them if I think it's going to offend them. Everybody understand where I'm coming from? If I have to answer a question and I know it's going to make somebody mad, it's like, okay, you don't want me to answer this. And I had somebody, his name was Harvey Young, said, well, don't ask Raymond a question unless you want an answer. Okay? You didn't say the correct answer. You didn't say the proper answer. But you asked me a question, and if you push me, I'll give you what I think. And if I'm wrong, then I will apologize. But our tongue has the power of death and life. God says you got a choice. What comes out of this thing here will either help somebody get to heaven, believe in Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, or you can send them the other direction. That's a hard thing to think about. You say, well, that's in the Old Testament. I understand, but the principle still lies. No, like I said, if we don't offend somebody, we're doing a good job. And I know I offended people, and I know I'll continue to offend people. Why? Because I know my mouth. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plentiness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. You say, what does that have to do with it? Once again, what gets us into trouble is sometimes we speak before we think. Okay? There's two teenagers especially, and if you do this too, I notice that think before they speak are two teenagers I've seen. Annabelle, Hatfield, and Emma Stewart. They think before they speak. I ask them a question, and they think I'm trying to trick them, they'll stop and I can see the wheels, you know, that they're clicking over. It's like, okay, what are you trying to get to me? He's trying to trick me. That question doesn't make sense to me, but they're thinking before they speak. My problem is I'm hasty with this. It is, and sometimes it can get me into trouble. And we need to be able to control these things. And if we do, you know, it's better, a lot of times it's better to be better off if we just didn't say anything and not to make people mad. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. I like that last part, that last word of that verse. Yes, I know what it means, prosperous. I know what it means, successful. I know it means what it means. I when I was going to Amazing Grace underneath Pastor Clarkson, you know, he says, well, you should exercise more. Yeah, and go, bodily exercise profiteth little. And his comment was after about the third time I said that is, but it does profit you some. And I was like, oh, okay. It says in the book of Proverbs that, you know, if I do what I'm supposed to, if I'm diligent in what I'm doing, then I shall be made fat. He goes, that's not what it's talking about. I said, well, that's what it says. And he gave me a look like Pastor Stewart right now. I was like, oh, don't you dare. Okay. It's what, sluggard desires, but has nothing, has got nothing. You know what? Benjamin Franklin put it something like this. The only way to make somebody not to be poor is to make them not to like being poor. Okay? Now, some people will never have a whole lot of money, but does that mean they're not rich? Everybody think being rich is this, having money, having things. You know what being rich is? Is when you raise your children, they end up doing well. They're saved at an early age. They don't get into sin. They end up going to church their whole life. I wish. Okay. Or we end up back in church like we're supposed to. It's always a good thing when you have testimonies like that. And it's always a good thing. You know, I was talking to a few people and I've always wondered, and this has been a couple years ago, I've asked lately, I've dropped people off at the, social services buildings around Portland and some human resources and some other stuff. And so, you know, it's cheaper for them to stay off of a $15 an hour job than to get one. They make more money on government stuff than they do if they got a $15 an hour job. I'm going, no wonder a lot of people don't want to get a job. Some of these people would lose money if they're getting paid $20 an hour. I'm going, sign me up. I applied for things and they said, no, you make too much money. I'm going, first time I applied for state Medicaid because of my foot, the first time around, they said, you make too much money. I'm saying, this here is not what I make down here, folks. This is real nice and pretty up here. Time my expenses are done, not so pretty down here. And they couldn't get, well, you got money in the bank. Yeah, I got $500, big deal. You know what $500 is? Not much. That doesn't even pay for a half a month's rent in most places nowadays. You know, we're going to skip that one. You know, there's always things to do around the church. Always things to do around the church. Okay, cleaning. Vacation Bible school. That's coming up. No, I haven't forgot. And anybody saying I see a couple males here besides me. We need male volunteers. I can't teach. Just show up so the children can have male role models to see that they're actually here. And they said, why haven't you signed up? Because I'm trying to figure out what days I can be here. Anybody understand where I'm coming from? That's a week that it's like, well, do I sign up and say I can be here all the time and only show up once? So I'm trying to figure out how much I can be here when I have to leave and a lot of other things. But yes, I do plan on being here at least 1 or 2 days. Why? Because they need to have a good role model. Oh, okay. They need to at least see a man besides Pastor Stewart here. Good role model. That's not what I want. A good role model. Ah! Okay. There's painting, repairing holes in walls. My brother Tom fell through the wall over there. Somebody had to repair it. Okay. I told my brother Tom, I said, I'm going to get a Target and say Tom's Target. I never did. And I said, why would you do that? Poke the bear. And I say, do you do that to you? Yes, I do. I didn't say I was smart. Okay. This, once again, this is not Sunday. Thank you. Once again, there goes my mouth. Proverbs chapter 13. Yeah, I love you too. I'll remember you my prayers tonight. I already prayed for you earlier today. Now I'm going to have to pray for you again tonight. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Diligent. Diligent. Doesn't mean fast. Doesn't mean quick. It means you're doing what you're supposed to do and you do it in a proper amount of time. Pastor Stewart has to do contracts and he's limited to the amount of time he's technically allowed to get them done. Okay, if he's diligent, he gets it done when he's supposed to. I was talking to him, he said, well, the other day my boss is on a day and a half behind. I said, how many people do you have? And he says, well, there's just me. I said, well, then you're not a day and a half behind. Well, there's supposed to be 3 people in that department, and there's one, and you're only a day and a half behind. You know what I said to my boss? I mean, he's diligent in what he does. Yes, I would. Yes, I'm just that way. You know what 13:4 said? Yeah. I know somebody really got a kick out of that one. But you notice what it says? It didn't say the body. It didn't say the person. It says the soul. The soul. Not what we want shall be made fat. Not what we want. Psalm chapter 42 verse 2, it talks about David understood what was yearning for God. He talks about his soul was yearning for God. Not his body, not his mind, his soul. So David understood that the spiritual aspect of his body was the soul and not what people want it to be. And Psalm chapter 49 verse 15, it tells us that David understood that his soul would be rescued from the ground. He understood that. David understood that. David, a lot of people in the Old Testament didn't understand that. David had a lot of prophecy and a lot of things in the book of Psalms that relate to us today. Turn to Acts chapter 2 verse 43. Acts chapter 2 verse 43. And when I was doing this, I was like, okay, let's go to Theophilus. What's that? It's a fancy thing, sort of fancy thing on my computer that I don't want to have to think. And I can look up the word like soul or whatever it might be and look up and see what verses. I can see the whole verse. When I was doing this when I was a younger age, we had a concordance. We said, what's wrong with the concordance? It doesn't give you the whole verse. Doesn't give you the context. Sometimes it just gives you whatever and you look at it and say, I think I want that. Then you look at it and it's like, wow, that's not what I wanted. Acts chapter 2 verse 43. And fear came upon every soul. Yeah, David understood in the book of Psalms. Here's Luke says, it's our soul. What was stirred at Pentecost? It was the soul, the heart. The heart of the whole matter was stirred, not the brain. When I was going to Amazing Grace, there was somebody that stood, gave a witness that the dry cleaner that they went to was a saved person because they believed in God. Can anybody tell me what's wrong with that statement? They didn't say Jesus Christ. They said God. You said, why are you making a big deal? Because the person was Muslim. Okay? When they talk about God, they're not talking about God, Jehovah. They're talking about Allah most of the time. That's how I put that, most of the time. I know there's some saved people that were Muslims at one point that got saved. I understand that, but this was not the case. And it's like, I'm going, do you understand that you got to make sure of who they're talking about? I do not take it for granted when I talk to anybody. If they say they're a Baptist, I want to make sure. Not to browbeat them, but I want to make sure. Why? Nothing's worse than having an opportunity to see somebody saved and just letting it go away. Never, no, so diligent, never wasting a second on silly things. Video games, the way you put that one in there. Growing up, I spent so much time in video arcades, it was ridiculous. Okay, how much do you spend? Way too much money and way too much time. Why? Yeah, you know, watching the same TV shows over and over again. Before my mom died, she liked to watch Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. And I love my mom, but every time it came on, I never seen this one. Mom, I seen it with you more than once, please. I know you've seen it, but what I didn't realize is that her short-term memory was not there anymore. She couldn't remember. And it's like, what we just, instead of being diligent, we just like to, well, okay, I don't know about we, I like to waste time. There's been said about me sometimes on a radio cab, if I don't wait till the last second to get something done, nothing would ever get done. Okay, I always get my stuff done on time, sometimes I just like to wait. You know, prosperity gospel teaches us that, you know, if we just want something, if we just act like it and do certain things, that we'll be prosperous. That's not, it says in verse 4, chapter 13, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. God wants us to be diligent. God wants us to be doing things that we're supposed to be doing. Not what we want to be doing. You know, one of the best things a church can do is praying. Over and over again. Why do you say that? I believe that to be true. I seen it out of Treasure Valley. They have a men's prayer meeting on Saturday night. Why do they have it on Saturday night? I don't know. Because they're crazy, that's why. Give me one second here. Somebody just texted me. And it's good news. Give me a second. Pastor Bill just texted me, 22-year-old young man got saved tonight at prayer meeting. I've been making a point to really pray for him because he went through a lot of what I'd call a dry spell where he wasn't seeing visitors, he wasn't seeing people saved. This is the third person saved in about a month in his church. That is good. And he said when a family moved up from South Carolina that he's worked with before to come and be a help to them at that church at Cornerstone in Eugene, Springfield. So that's a blessing. Somebody gets saved, a 22-year-old person. But that's always a blessing. So let's split up into our prayer groups and go from there.